From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, if you have not heard yet, I want to remind you that there's going to be an evening of comedy. You'll hear about free speech and censorship. It's an evening with the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee. Kyle Mann's coming to Santa Fe. He'll be at the La Fonda Hotel there on Saturday, September 28th. Details are found on the organization's website that's hosting the event, the Santa Fe Federated Republican Women. That's santafefrw.com. And with that, I want to thank Kyle Mann for taking the time to join us on ABQ Connect today. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, not too long ago, if people who are connected with me on my personal Facebook, they would have seen a recent post you put on, I believe it was on the Babylon Bee's page on YouTube, on the topic of censorship, and we're going to get to more of the discussion on censorship without stealing your thunder for the event in Santa Fe in just a few minutes. But, Kyle, for those not familiar with the Babylon Bee, can't figure that out, but if they're not at this point, maybe briefly tell them how it came to be and what your hope is for the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, the Babylon Bee, we launched in 2016, right during the election season, which was a crazy time, as everybody remembers. And we, you know, we were inspired by stuff like The Onion and you know, all kinds of political comedy out there. And there really wasn't anything that was speaking to Christians, to conservatives, to the right, using the power of comedy. So we wanted to replicate the success that you know, leftists have had recently and kind of weaken their stranglehold on the comedy world. And ultimately we just wanted to put some good humor out into the world. Good natured, you know, obviously we're a lot cleaner than some of the, competing sites and stuff. So that's kind of our goal and our mission, you know, is to make something good and true and beautiful and put it out into the world and help people to laugh, help people to consume the news without feeling so stressed out by it all the time. And just give something to that underserved market, half the country that wants comedy that doesn't hate them.
Yeah, and it's absolute satire. If you head to either the download the app, which I go to almost daily, or just simply log on to BabylonBee.com and just prepare to laugh. And actually, if you don't mind, Kyle, I'm going to read the top headline today. X ban leaves Brazilians without reliable access to AI generated images of Elon Musk and Donald Trump riding dinosaurs through the Death Star. There's times, Kyle, and I understand it's satire, but there's times where I'll log into the Babylon Bee and go, oh, there's something happening that I need to go find out because I didn't catch that story. We obviously wouldn't encourage people to get, you know, their news, and it is satire. But it also, wouldn't you agree? I mean, it draws people. I mean, like myself, I see a headline. I'm like, what happened? Do you find that often?
Yeah. I mean, my wife tells me she doesn't even read the news. She just looks at Babylon Bee headlines and
yeah,
and you can kind of reverse engineer what happened. So it's like, you know, it's satire and it's, you know, quote unquote fake news. But at the same time, like, we're commenting on real events. So there is a sense in which you can kind of get your news from the Babylon Bee, which sounds counterproductive. But I mean, that is part of the point. Like I was saying earlier, you know, we want people to not feel so doom and gloom all the time about the news. And, you know, you read a Babylon Bee headline while you're doom scrolling your X feed or your Facebook feed. And it brings a little levity, it brings a little light, it brings a little joy, you know, to the discussion. And that's kind of the goal. So I do think it's an important part of online discourse and the way that we consume news.
Yeah, well, and speaking of which, consuming news, I mean, I found myself, I think maybe at the best, when I, quite honestly, I listen to news mostly when I'm in the car, when I had access to satellite and actually, Kyle, I mean, I could listen to what NBC was giving, what NPR was giving. But then I could also go to others, including Fox or Newsmax, and you know, just try to get a balance of what's out there, so I could try to, you know, read between the lines and figure out what is real, what is happening. Any insight for those that are looking at now, you know, as a Christian, obviously, you know, we can go just find the good news and pick up the Bible. I mean, not to Jesus juke everybody with that, but I mean, what's available to us to consume from, you know, organizations that are providing news, any insight as to how to do that and how to filter through to figure out what's really happening?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's we have to be responsible consumers of the news. And like you say, even that phrase consuming the news is so silly, because it's like another product to be consumed now. It's like another entertainment medium nowadays. I mean, I think obviously, like you said, a balanced selection of sources where you can, like, it's actually not a bad idea to go look, see what CNN is saying. And then you go and look at what Fox News or Newsmax is saying about the same topic. And, you know, probably a lot of times the truth's in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah.
Even the stories that that you choose to cover, you know, that's also part of news bias. You know, if you just consume CNN, you would have no idea about some of the stuff that's going on. And by the same ticket, if you only consume right-leaning news, you don't hear about the stuff that is being reported on the other side. So that's part of it. And then I think, like, as a satire site, as a comedy site, trying to bring some joy into the world, you know, it's helpful to remember, too, just how much of what we see and consume on the news ultimately doesn't matter. Like, and that's the point of a lot of our jokes. You know, it's like we make fun of a news story that everybody's freaking out about and says it's the end of the world because this is happening or that's happening. You know, and we make a joke about it. And it not that there aren't serious topics, not that there aren't things that are absolutely worth our time and attention in the news. But at the same time, and not everything is that, you know. So we try to help people separate the silly from the serious.
Well, and I'll ask a question that probably only those who follow the Babylon Bee or Elon Musk may get. But has the Babylon Bee come up with a joke yet worth $44 billion?
We gave him the IOU after he bought Twitter. You know, we owe him $44 billion. But, yeah, hopefully he's gotten $44 billion worth of laughs after buying the site. Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who knows, but Elon, you know, that was one of the first things Elon said when he entered Twitter headquarters was free the Babylon Bee, you know, so that's a pretty cool thing.
So in my own posting, I want to get to censorship somewhat. I'm actually not finding a lot banned, but I am finding some, and actually maybe you can, help us better understand what banning means. Sometimes it's taking your content off of a feed. Now, I pretty much, quite honestly, only post to Facebook, and then my Facebook feed feeds my Instagram. I'm probably older than most of the demographic that follows the Babylon Bee. But I have found when I share some content, usually right-leaning content, that I don't get the engagement that I get from my circle of influence that I might for I don't post cat videos, but maybe like for a cat video. Is that a thing? Are we experiencing where the social media is not having our posts show up when it's maybe right-leaning?
I think it's more complicated than just that, but I do think that's happening. Like, there are definitely cases where right leaning news gets suppressed. I mean, like, it's explicit. Like, they've admitted it, you know. I mean, very, very clearly, you know, they said that they censored that Hunter Biden laptop story during the election. You know, Twitter, which was at the time not under the control of Elon Musk, actually suspended the account of the oldest newspaper in the United States, the New York Post. because they shared a story that was not helpful to Democrats. I mean, that's like, it's explicit. It's not a conspiracy theory. It happens. You know, Mark Zuckerberg just came out and admitted that the Biden administration pressured Facebook to censor humor and satire. They've just come out and said it now. So it's not a conspiracy theory. We don't have to speculate. They do censor that stuff. At the same time, it's also part of a broader movement among social media apps where they only prioritize native content. They want you to share the cat video and the funny meme and that kind of stuff instead of a link to, you know, the Babylon Bee or whatever. So, and I see exactly the same thing you're talking about. I'll share a Babylon Bee article that I wrote, and clearly a lot of my friends and on Facebook and stuff are fans of the Babylon Bee, you know, nobody sees it. You know, you get zero likes, zero engagement, zero views. So
yeah,
it's pretty obvious that that kind of stuff is suppressed.
So when you see something like this, and whether we're talking about the Babylon Bee post being suppressed or other posts in social media being suppressed, or we're talking about here in New Mexico legislation in the Roundhouse other things happening around New Mexico, issues that affect families, you know, we can often get into a place where we're talking about, okay, well, here's what we need to do to fix these problems. And it often comes back to, quite honestly, Jesus in the household. If we can get families that are raising Christian families, we'll see a change in our culture and in our world, and to look at things through a Christian worldview lens. One of the other things we can do actively in our in the culture that we're in is be active politically. And I regularly have been saying on the show, and often giving the exact amount of days, I don't have that in front of me, but, you know, are you registered to vote? And please go vote, without telling people how to register or how to vote. I mean, how important is it that we engage in the process?
I think, you know, God calls different people to different levels of political engagement. Like, I don't necessarily think as a Christian, every single Christian is called to go knock on doors and that kind of stuff, or put up signs and like I don't think you can go that far in terms of political engagement. I do think, you know, there are people that God calls to that kind of thing and says, like, hey, you have the skill set, you know, it's something that you can handle. It's something that, you know, I want to entrust to you. And I think that's a good thing that Christians are involved and engaged in the political sphere. I mean, there's a balance to it, though. You know, it's like I said at the Babylon Bee here, like, we comment on the news. So obviously we're politically engaged and we have opinions and all that stuff. But a lot of what we do is pointing out, you know, how ultimately meaningless some of it is. You know, we don't want to get involved so much so where we forget the fact that our hope is for the next world, not this one. And that's a lot of what we do. And that's honestly why we're called the Babylon Bee, you know, because we feel like we're in exile in Babylon and as Christians. So, you know, it's a little bit of both. I think Christians should be politically engaged, but at the same time, remember that it's not ultimate. Chesterton famously wrote in, like, I think it was an Orthodoxy. He wrote that an essay called What's Right with the World, you know, and he said a large part of a man's life is the same no matter if you're ruled over by a sultan or a senate, you know. And he concludes that part by saying we make politics too important, and you know, like, the sun will keep rising and birds will keep singing and children still won't go to bed, you know. Like, there's a sense too in which, like, yes, we must fight, and yes, it's worth preserving our liberties, and yes, we should stop communists from taking over our country. That's probably a good idea. You know, at the same time, he's like, hey, remember, like, a large part of humanity has always survived and enjoyed life despite difficult political circumstances, and the church thrives under difficult political circumstances. So we do have to keep in mind what's eternal and what's fleeting, while at the same time, God doesn't call us Christians to just ignore everything that's going on. So there's definitely a balance there, I think.
Yeah, well said, Kyle. If you just tuned in, we're visiting with Kyle Mann, the editor-in-chief at the Babylon Bee, babylonbee.com, where you can find it in your app store. and download the app to essentially get the same content daily. Kyle is coming to Santa Fe on September 28th at the La Fonda Hotel, hosted by the Santa Fe Federated Republican Women. And Kyle, a sneak peek at what people will experience if they go to SantaFeFRW.com and get tickets for that evening.
Yeah. Oh, I love going around and addressing groups. You know, sometimes I talk with political groups, sometimes churches, pro-life groups, that kind of thing. And it's so fun because we get to go through Babylon Bee headlines, talk a little bit about like pulling the curtain back and showing people how we created these headlines. Some of the crazy stories about how our jokes get fact checked, which is just a wild thing in and of itself. And then just kind of a call to, you know, without giving everything away, just a call to remain hopeful and be joyful warriors in the middle of this fight that we're in. You know, that ultimately we're on the winning side and we have to remember that. So it's a little mix of laughter and joy and a little bit of hope for people.
The fact checking, you mean that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are not riding dinosaurs through the Death Star?
That's true. That was fake news that you fell for.
Well, Kyle, we appreciate the work that you guys are doing, and hope to see, you know, hope to continue to laugh on a daily basis. And back to the whole engagement as a Christian community. The comments you made were comments that we've often said on the show, including, you know, you know, no one's going to take God off the throne. And another real important point that you made in a response here just a minute ago was the church flourishes under persecution. And not that we're praying for persecution, but he does have a plan. And if you're if your convictions are that you don't participate, you don't vote, well, then, you know, for him who knows what is right to do and does not do it, to him it is sin, you better stick to your convictions. And we appreciate you walking us through some of that and some of the issues on censorship. But we look forward to hearing more when you visit Santa Fe at the La Fonda Hotel on September 28th. Before I put a bow on it, Kyle, is there anything that came to mind? I don't want to leave anything left unsaid.
Not really. We're just very, really excited to be out there, you know, making people laugh, and we really appreciate everybody for their readership and support. So we're mostly a reader-funded site, and people come and subscribe, and that really helps us out. So we appreciate our listeners and our podcast listeners and our site viewers for keeping us afloat. We really appreciate their support.
All right. We appreciate you again, Kyle. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.